Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our two-part study from Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, titled The Difference Between Covenant and Testament. This is part 2 of 2. And studies like these are very important for the Bible believer, as today finds the airwaves and internet videos and church pulpits filled with men and even women who are pretending to be knowledgeable Bible teachers, when in reality they are novices who do not rightly divide the word of truth, as we're commanded to do in 2 Timothy 2:15. Too many of these careless teachers reject the dispensational divisions. Too many of them ignore context when teaching. And most of these false teachers are not expositors, but anti-biblical butchers, treating the Bible like a cookbook instead of a collection of histories and letters to be read and studied verse by verse in their entirety. And along the way, they ignore differences in words and definitions of terms, resulting in a huge number of people listening to these blind guides, and they're all falling into the same ditch. So we urge you to listen and note the need for care in handling these words. These are, after all, the words of God.
You know, I mean, the whole earth has benefited from the fact that God is not going to destroy the whole earth again by water. But He's making it with Noah. Making the covenant with Noah. Look at verse 15. And I will remember my what? Which is between me and you and... See, we get the benefit of this. And every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Now, down in Texas, they're starting to wonder. And we got... My sister came in from Louisiana, but she drove to Dallas-Fort Worth and flew in with my aunt and cousin. And then while she's up here in Ohio, my uncle, who stayed back there, sent a picture of her car with the water rising up. And it's, what was it? A little Fiat or something. And if it would have gone just a few more inches, that car would have been sailing. And not intended to do that, you know. But Texas, Texans, anybody you got relatives down there, I assure you, Texas may flood, but the rest of the earth is going to be okay. This covenant was not ratified with blood, by the way. It was ratified with the token of the bow. Okay? Now, this is a picture taken down the road here. God's rainbow. And somebody posted one last week. I guess you can see this every once in a while. Full circle. If you go to Niagara Falls and you get up in the tower and look down on the falls, you can see a full circle rainbow. Yeah, it's on Facebook out there somewhere, but I couldn't find the picture to put it on here. But there are counterfeits of these covenants. Satan is always trying to counterfeit. You know that? Mm-hmm. He counterfeits the real Bible with the NIV and the ESV. Amen? He counterfeits the real Savior with all these false cults and false saviors. Amen? Mm-hmm. He tries to counterfeit everything. God's rainbow does not belong to the Sodomites.
Amen. Amen.
God wants His rainbow back. Now, this is going to be a video, and I hope you can hear it. The sound quality is not great, but I want to share you with this with you. We have folks around the country and around the world that we fellowship with on Facebook. Now, Mark and his wife, Daryl, were married right here last year. But they live in Florida. And this is just a very interesting thing. So listen closely. Elizabeth Paulus is also a believer who contributed to this, and she's in Sweden. So you're getting this information from Brother Mark in Florida, Sister Elizabeth in Sweden.
I just saw a post by Sister Elizabeth Paulus in Sweden pointing out that there are seven colors in the rainbow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's God's rainbow.
When I knew this, I forgot. There's a lot of things I knew that I've forgotten. There's quite a few good examples here of seven colors in the rainbow. I went up and just put colors of the rainbow in Google image. And then I came over here and found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just like Sister Elizabeth Paulus said. And I'm grateful for that, and that the counterfeit is so foul. And not even a good counterfeit. And I know I know they put a lot of thought into this, and Lord God, Jehovah prevailed. Praise God.
Amen. Now you think about that. This is the Sodomite gay pride flag. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The number of man. The Antichrist comes, it'll be 666. And he's got a whole movement of Sodomites ready to embrace him.
Oh yeah.
And folks, just FYI, they're going to legalize sodomite marriage. They call it gay marriage in this country. And they are going to use that to shut you down and to shut me down. They're going to start passing laws that say I can't preach about their sin. I'm going to preach about their sin. So we're going to start a jail ministry and I'll be right in there. God's rainbow is 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's a happy number. 7 is, what is it, Julie? Completion. God's number. He is lacking nothing. He is completion. And everything God does, He does to completion. 7 is His number. Just happens to be, by the way, what we're talking about today, 7 covenants of Israel. You find God works in 7s. 7 dispensations. As is all over the Bible. John, ain't that a quinky dinky? As is the 7 covenants of Israel. Real quick. Now, we ain't got time to go through all these, obviously, but you can do this on your own time. God made a covenant with Adam. You can read about it in Genesis 1-3. Then this we just read about, the Noahic covenant, Genesis 9. Abrahamic covenant, which is Genesis 12-22, not the whole thing, but portions of Genesis 12-22 deal with that. Then there's the Palestinian covenant, which directly refers to the situation with the land, and we've studied that before in Deuteronomy 30. Then there's the Mosaic covenant, which is what we think of Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, but it's more than just the Ten Commandments. And then Deuteronomy 11 is another place where you got to get into that. And then there's the Davidic covenant. And the Davidic covenant is what we talk about when we say that Jesus will rule and reign on a throne, because God has promised that to David. And that's in 2 Samuel 7. And then the New Covenant, which is what a lot of Christians try to usurp and take for the church. And that's in Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, again, we don't have time to go through in specific detail about that, but that gives you the 7 covenants, and it's different from a testament. Not the same thing. So, all right, I see some of you writing real fast. I'll give you a minute to copy that down. But isn't that amazing? 7. How many? Can you think of other 7s in the Bible?
7 days.
7 days of creation. Any other? Yeah, Jill? Yeah. And that's not in the Bible, but that is God's creation. Amen. Other 7s? Now, I want to warn you, we're not talking numerology here. Numbers can be used in occult terms and in an occult perversion of what we're talking about, biblical numerics. There's a difference. Don't get suckered into numerology. Numerology is right up there with palm reading and cutting up the chicken and cutting the lizard up, the liver up, and looking at the pieces and that sort of thing. We're talking biblical numerology. Yeah, Joyce?
Tell me I'm wrong. Is it 7 churches?
Yeah. I'll tell you, you're right. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, if it's Bible, it's right. Yeah. Jill?
7 judgments.
The 7 judgments. Of course, that breaks down to 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and 7 vials. Martha, I have the same trouble. We hear people call it bowls all the time. It's a Bible, it's vials, which is different. Not exactly the same thing. What?
Every 7 years, the debt and land jubilee?
Yeah. The feast system was set up on 7s. Yeah, over and over, on and on. All right, so Jews can receive inheritance in the New Testament, but only if they received the gift of salvation by faith in the gospel. You see, the Old Testament Jews who are believers and New Testament Jews who are believers in the gospel, they are going to have an inheritance as Israel. But they also, as New Testament believers, are one with us in the New Testament. We'll get into that more. Just remember, New Covenant, that was the seventh covenant we looked at, belongs to Israel. And you will be told we're, as Christians, in the New Covenant. That's not true. Jeremiah 31:31 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a what?
New
covenant." Who's it say? With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not the church. Amen. The new covenant is yet to be established with Israel. People are telling you now from pulpits that we're in the new covenant. We're not. The new covenant is future. In verse 32 of Jeremiah 31, it says, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt," Exodus 20, Mosaic covenant, "which my covenant they break."
Amen.
"Although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord." Verse 33 then says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people." That hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. And it's crazy. I hear Christians claiming that, yes, it has. And I have the law of the Lord written on my heart. You don't demonstrate it. I can see in your life that you don't have that yet. But this will take place during the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Yet to come. God made His covenant with Israel and sealed it by the testament of His blood. But the new covenant was with Israel was ratified by the blood of the testator in his own death. They're not the same thing. The covenant is established by the blood of the testator. But those in the covenant have to receive the gift to be a part of the testament. That's why Jesus said to some of the Jews in His day, and He said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." The New Testament belongs to the church. And the Jews get hold of the gift of the testament the same way you and I did. That's why when we're saved, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Jew nor Gentile.
Was that not considered a hard testament for the Jews to listen to?
But yeah. Absolutely. That was the big thing was, what do you mean? We're going to be just like those Gentiles and no difference between us and we're all one and the same in Christ and that was hard for a Jew to hear. That's one of the reasons pride, speaking of gay pride, you know, when someone is making something about pride, there's a problem there.
Amen.
I hear Christians say, "I'm proud to be a Christian." That's a contradiction.
Yes, sir.
We're not proud. We're humbled. We're grateful.
Amen.
We're thankful.
Amen.
We praise God, but there's no pride here. We didn't do anything to be proud of. We're not ashamed. But it's not pride. One, not being ashamed doesn't translate into being proud. Israel rejected that new covenant and they crucified that testator. So God adopted Gentile believers who benefit from the blood of the testament. Romans 11:25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that," look at this, "blindness in part is happened to Israel." If you are claiming to be Israel, you're blind. "Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." We have been adopted and are now heirs of the New Testament. Heirs, H-E-I-R-S. That's related to what? The new last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we studied back in Galatians 4, verses 5 and 6. "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Today the lie is, well, we're all children of God. No, you're not.
Amen.
To them that believe on His name, He gave the power to become the sons of God. You're born in sin. And once you become aware of right and wrong, know you need to be saved, you become responsible and you're lost until you're saved. Verse 6 we read, and it says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we have the Spirit of God in us as believers. And we do have this relationship with the Lord. But there's coming a day when you and I are actually going to be in a kingdom and we're going to walk next to and with God. Don't spiritualize all those promises. There's coming a day. And during this time, believers in the New Testament are called heirs in verse 7 of Galatians 4. Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Now the perversion of that is in the Word Faith movement today, where they say, yes, I'm a child of the King, therefore all I have to do is speak, and God is going to give me everything I ask for. No, you know why He doesn't do that? Because He's a good father.
Amen.
No good parent gives his child every single thing. I know this is going to be hard on you, Ron. But that little baby girl is going to look up and say, Daddy, at the age of 6, can I have the keys? And because you love her, you're going to say, no. No, we'll get you some little alternative version of that automobile. And she'll have a little one of those little Fred Flintstone cars, you know. But because you love your child, you don't hand them the keys until they've got a license to drive. Amen? And that's what we're waiting for. We're children of God, but we haven't got that license to drive yet because we're still in the flesh. We're still prone to the flesh. And we still turn off the Spirit of God too quickly and too often. So God loves us enough not to give us everything we ask for. Amen?
Yes.
A lot of your prayers, God says, I love you too much to give you that.
Yes.
Amen. So a covenant and a testament. Covenant is a national promise, by the way. Testament is personal salvation. Given to Noah, it actually benefited the whole world. But if you look at each one of these covenants, they led to and became the possession of Israel and the nation of Israel. So have you thought of this? As we close, I just want you to think of this. What if I told you I got a call? I mean, I can't say I wouldn't be happy to hear this. But if someone called me and said, Greg, we found out you were related to so-and-so and they left you in their will. What's his name? Bill Gates. Whoa. If I'm in his will, there must be a chunk of change with my name on it. Some of you get excited just thinking about that right now. You know, Sam, there's something better than that. You have been left in Jesus' will. If you believe that gospel, you are in His last will and testament.
Amen.
But you must receive it by faith.
Amen.
It may sound crazy, but do you know there are people who have inherited millions of dollars and never got it? Mm-hmm. Did you know that? There are people who have inherited millions of dollars and never got a dime of it. You know why? They never laid claim to it. You got to receive the gift. Jesus died and shed His blood and paid the full price. But there's a lot of goofballs out there saying that means all of us are already saved. No. The propitiation is the big word for it. Payment has been made. But appropriation only belongs to those who will believe that gospel message and receive that gift. You're in His will. He's not willing that any should perish. But there are an awful lot of people who have had the payment for sin paid, but they've never received it. Because you have to receive it by faith.
Yes.
And if you will, then He wills His inheritance to you. like you were adopted. We are adopted by the Father and receive according to the will of His Son. And it's yours. And it's eternal.
Hallelujah.
Bill Gates leaves you some money. You're going to enjoy that for a while. But, you know, some of you, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody in here, but some of you probably do something to get you killed real quick. You know? I've told the story of a family down in Southern Ohio won the lottery, and they went out and bought a big boat, got drunk, and ran into a big barge.
Mm-hmm.
Died. Didn't get to enjoy that money. But this is eternal. Jesus has paid the full price, and we are in His will. But if you will not receive that gift by faith, you lose. You're out. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this message. And we thank You for those who are saved this morning in this room. We thank You for every soul who knows that if they were to die right now, they'd go to heaven. Thankful for everyone in this room who knows Jesus personally, who can call Him my Savior, my Lord, and my King. If there's anyone here who isn't saved, Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit won't let them rest until they get saved. Those who listen to this by other means in the coming weeks and months and years ahead, listening to this and knowing they're not saved, Lord, that they'll turn toward God with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord. You alone deserve all the glory and praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus.